Hebrews chapter 4, just want to go from one verse tonight, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4, familiar verse, but I'll share with you my thoughts here in just a moment. Verse number 12, for the word of God is quick, that means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you just be with us. Give us something, Lord, that would be a help. Help us to understand a little bit as we look into the heart and the heart of the matter. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just give it, speak to our heart, help us make it clear enough and plain enough that we could understand. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Look back at this verse, and I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, I want you to notice the Word of God. The Word of God is very important. The Word of God is what is used to convict us of our sin. The Word of God is sharp. Amen. It comes to us, and it has a way of speaking to you. You ever sit and hear preaching and it just cuts you and seem like he was preaching just at you? That's what the Word of God does. Then, as a matter of fact, I've had people walk away and accuse me of preaching at them. I've even had people walk away and accuse me of knowing something and I preached at them because I knew something and come find out I didn't know it until they told me, and then I knew it, but I didn't know it before. But the Word of God is alive. It's powerful, sharp. But it does more than that. It is the only means of revealing to us salvation. So what you do is you look into the Word of God to find how to be saved. You don't look everywhere else. The Bible says we're begotten by the Word of God. And the Word of God is what brings to us the knowledge of understanding how to be saved. It has to be believed if you're going to be saved. It tells you how, but then you got to believe it. You got to believe in Jesus, his finished work on the cross of Calvary. It demands faith from coming from you if you're going to be saved. If you neglect the Word of God, it will judge you. Jesus said he came not to judge the world, but the word he spoke, it shall judge you in the last day. I'm afraid in the last day there are going to be a whole lot of people who wish they'd paid a little bit more attention to the Word of God, because it's going to proceed out of the mouth of Jesus. When he comes down upon this earth, the weapon that he's going to use is the Word of God. The Bible says it's going to be a sharp two-edged sword that proceeds out of his mouth. And all he has to do is speak, and it defeats people. When he speaks, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet will be cast in the lake of fire. Everyone who took the mark of the beast will be cast in the lake of fire. That's because he has power in his voice. Now, the Word of God, we when you look in chapter 119 of Psalms, the whole Psalms is about the Word of God and how important it is to us and how it affects our heart. That's why in one verse in Psalms 119, David states that he hides the word in his heart that he might not sin against God. The word is important. But the word has to take fruition in the heart. We learn that by Jesus giving the parable of the sower. He made it clear that what he was sowing was a seed, which was the word of God. And then it fell upon a hard heart. It fell upon a very shallow heart. It fell upon a heart that was distracted with worldly things. Then it fell upon a good heart. And sad to say that your heart has to be, your heart is a place that is most important for you. Your heart is where your emotions, your affections, and your will is. Brother Junior said something going out of church today, and I got thinking about it. That's why I'm preaching this. I thought about it all day. He said, if you notice here, the Bible says that it's a discerner of your thoughts and intents of your hearts. Your thoughts and your heart comes from two different places. That's why you see these people with dementia. He was talking about Brother Cox. Brother Cox began to get some dementia, but his heart was still good. He still remembered where he got saved, when he got saved, and that he's saved. You could talk to him about the Lord, but there's some things you couldn't talk to him about. He was talking about Chris's parents. I could talk to them about when they got saved. They could tell me, but they couldn't tell me who she was. But they remembered, because their mind and their heart's different. When your heart, when you get saved and you have a believing heart, you always have a believing heart. Your mind may go, but your heart's still good. And so tonight, I want us to look just a few moments at the heart. The heart's important. When you look at Psalms chapter 119 and you begin to study it, it's separated every 8 verses. They're stanzas. And they are separated by the Hebrew alphabet. For instance, like the second one has 8 verses. All starts with the letter B. It's called Beth. Beth for the house. Beth is the second letter of the alphabet of the Hebrews. And so anyway, it tells us about the Word of God, and it's important. From the heart, the Bible said, proceeds all the issues of your life. And so it's important that we keep our heart. Now look just a few moments. I want to share with you a couple things about the heart. Some things I've shared and some things I haven't. But first of all, I want you to turn a couple places in the Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, again, another familiar verse. But I want to take you over and let you look at it while we read it. In Jeremiah 17... notice in verse 9, this is talking about your natural heart. If you don't do anything, this is conditioning your heart. The Bible says the heart is what? What does deceitful mean? It will make you believe lies, won't it? It'll tell you something that's not true. The heart is deceitful above all things. Somebody said, boy, old devil's deceitful. Not as much as your heart is. And desperately what? Wicked. So first of all, and the Bible says, who can know it? So first of all, you have to recognize, if you don't do anything about your heart, and again, your heart is your emotions, your affections, your will. If you don't do anything about your heart, it's desperately wicked. Did you understand that? Deceitful. And if you don't, it'll make you believe that everything's going to be okay. It'll make you believe this. It'll make you believe that you're just as good as somebody else. It'll tell you all kinds of things. But you better not leave this old world in your natural heart. You leave it in your natural heart, you'll die and go to hell. Somebody said, well, he's got a good heart. Not if he's not saved, he doesn't. He's got a wicked heart. It's deceitful. Now, not only that, but also, look if you would in Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2. Let me turn over real quick. And those as well. In verse number 4, it says, or despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, it talks about an impenitent heart. An impenitent heart is one that despises warnings. Have you ever talked to somebody trying to warn them of their lost condition? They get mad at you. They hate you. They just hate for anything you tell them. I remember I've used this example before, but it sticks in my mind because it's so tragic. I went one time in jail, picked up a 17-year-old boy. He cut himself, tried to commit suicide in jail, cut his wrist. and had 9 marks on his arm. You've heard me tell, some of you heard me anyway. And I took him to the hospital to get sewed up. I took him back in a private room and I went in there and told him. I said, do you have any idea what would happen if you were to take your life? Because he done told me he wasn't saved, I asked him. And I began to try to tell him about Jesus. And he began to curse me. He said, you don't know what I've gone through. He said, I've been raped. He said, my parents left me when I was little. He said, nobody's cared for me. I've got abused all my life. He said, I hate God. I began to try to tell him about the love of God. He began to scream for me to get out of the room. He didn't want to hear it. He hated the word of God. The doctor come in and said, Bill, you're going to have to step out. You're getting them too upset. And I left. Then this other doc that was a weekend warrior, what we call a weekend warrior from another place, come in. He made a suggestion that if he just cut his carotid, it would take care of the job. He was kidding. But 15 minutes later, I went over to jail and picked him up. And he cut his carotid artery and he was dead. He bled out. He went out of this world with an impenitent heart, one that despised the warnings of God. The Bible said that those that despise the warnings of God shall suddenly find destruction. What a sad, sad time. The Bible speaks of a hardened heart. Did you know some people tries to make a doctrine? 18 times, the Bible says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. 9 of those times, God hardened it. 9 of them, Pharaoh hardened it. Pharaoh hardened it because of sin. Pharaoh hardened it because of the suffering of the plagues. Pharaoh hardened it because of the sorrow of his son that was taken. But every time that he would try to begin to act like he's going to let up, he would harden it. Then there was times when God hardened it because he knew what Pharaoh was going to do. It's a dangerous thing to have a hardened heart. Some people say, well, preacher, you don't know, ever since this happened to me, my heart's just been hard. Well, when it's hard, the word of God has no effect on it. That's why the Bible says that when Jesus went for sowing, the sower went for sowing, it fell upon the rocky ground. It was hard, and it took no root. You can't penetrate old hard heart. You got something that's holding you back. And I've shared this with you too because it stuck my mind when I was a little guy. I was at Sinking Creek one time. These quartet come up here and sung. Guy who sung bass. I don't know what got into him to tell this, but he did. I guess he got feeling conviction. And he got telling that he wasn't saved. Even as a young boy, I was thinking, what are you doing up there singing if you're not saved? I mean, singing about gospel and singing about the gospel of Jesus and love of God. Why sing about it when you don't have it? And he made this statement. He said, there was a man who killed my daddy. I'll never forgive him. I can't forgive him. And so therefore, I can't be saved. I thought, what a sad situation to have such a hard heart. But it is. Then look, if you would, into Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. The Bible says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Now notice here that she opened her heart to the word of God. What you have to do is the Spirit of God comes and he convicts you. And he begins to deal with your heart, but you have to open your heart to the word of God. Now, what you have to ask yourself is this. Has there ever been a time when you open your heart to receive the word of God? Willing to hear it. Hear what God says. Then in Psalm 51, the Bible says that David had a contrite heart. He had a broken heart. I believe that when you open your heart up and you receive the word of God, it's sharp. It cuts you. It lets you know that you're a sinner. And the Holy Spirit of God uses it to bring about conviction. The Bible says when he come, he would convict us of our sin. Judgment to come and all those things. I believe he uses that. And when we open our heart, he comes. And when he does that, it makes us contrite. The Bible says God dwells among the high lofty places of heaven and the contrite heart. When our heart gets contrite, God's willing to do something with it. He's willing to save it. When we get humble before God, we have to get humble. We have to get broken. Let me ask you this. I know this is a very simple message, but let me ask you. I'll tell you why I'm preaching it. Because someday if you live long enough, your mind may go. And when your mind goes, I want you to have a heart back when you received Christ. When I talked to Brother Cox, 17 years old he was when he got saved. He could remember when he got saved, where he got saved, how he got saved. Even when he began to think of forget other things. Folks, your heart is what's got to be, got to believe. And you got to get humble and contrite before God. Then you got to put faith in God. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 10, real quickly. In Romans chapter number 10, notice what the Bible says here. Verse number 8. Said, but what saith it? The word is what? Nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy what? That is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe where? In thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Amen. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Have you ever believed upon the word of God? It takes believing in the word. Some of you that have been struggling with salvation, your security of salvation, all you have to do is go back. Did you believe in your heart what the Bible said about Jesus? Did you believe he was the Son of God? Did you believe he died for your sins? Did you step out believing that he could save your soul? Was the Holy Spirit of God drawing you? Did it convict you of your sin? Did it show you that you were lost and need to be saved? Did it point you to Jesus? And through the word of God, he drew you to believe upon him. And by faith, you put your trust in him. And then by grace were you saved through faith, that not yourself, it was a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. You see, that's what happens when you're saved. We get a believing heart. Once we get a believing heart, folks, our heart will always believe. Somebody said, what if I stop believing? I don't believe you can stop believing. There's times when you have doubts, but your heart's a believing heart. When it's received the Holy Spirit of God, when your heart is believed upon Jesus Christ, you know, there's sometimes I doubt myself, but I don't doubt Jesus. I know in whom I have believed. I know he is who he says he is. Now, last but not least, once we're saved, you say, well, preacher, that's as far as we go. No. Acts chapter 11 says that we need to get a purposed heart. In other words, we need to have a heart purpose for his will. We need to surrender time to God. When you get saved, you ought to surrender some time to God. Somebody said, preacher, I'd come to church, but I just don't have time. Oh, you got time. You just haven't surrendered it. You got to surrender your time to God. Not only that, you got to surrender the authority of God. Somebody said, well, preacher, just don't understand. I had a girl one time, I went up to Dad's church where he used to pastor up in Ohio. I went to Sunday school class one day. Deborah may have been there with me, I'm not sure, but she said her husband didn't come to church. And she said, since the Bible said to obey her husband, when her husband told her not to come to church, she just didn't come to church. Well, she used that for excuse not to come to church, but the truth of the matter is, you got to surrender to the authority of God. That's why Peter and John said we must believe God, obey God rather than men. Because you got to surrender to the authority. You got to surrender to the reverence of God. You got to surrender to the instructions of God, and his allegiance has got to be to God. When you do that, you have purpose in life. If you don't get a purposed heart, remember what the Bible said about Daniel? He purposed where? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. If you don't have a purposed heart, even after you get saved, if you don't have a purposed heart, you won't do it. Reason why I'm here every service? I have a purposed heart. You say, well, you preach. Well, even when I wasn't preaching, I was here. Not here, I was somewhere in church. But I had to purpose it. Chris and I purposed that we wasn't going to let somebody drop by our house and keep us from coming to church. They drop by our house, they either come to church or they come back after we come back from church. One of the two. But we purposed it. We purposed in our heart that we were going to give to the Lord. Every week, our tithes and offerings are given to the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, I want to do that too if I got it left over. That's not the way it works. My point is this. When you believe God, you have to have some purpose in your life. I told them yesterday, somebody made a statement that they appreciated how I was able to preach a personal message with Brother Cox. And I told him when I was preaching, I said, when you preach funerals, you have those that have no hope. And the only thing you can do is preach Jesus to the whole crowd. Then I said, you preach some that they claim to have something, but you still have no confidence. Then you have others that you have confidence in. And when you have confidence in, then it's a whole different way of preaching. It's a whole different funeral, a whole different setting. Because you can give confidence and you can give hope. The Bible says that we have a hope that others do not have. I hate to preach one when I have to struggle and watch every word I say for fear I'll paint a picture of somebody that's not true. Have you ever sat in a funeral and heard a message preached and you didn't even recognize the person they was talking about? I remember Gene told me one time when I preached Linda and Darlene's dad's funeral, he called me over. I used to go visit him. When I first started visiting Charles, he'd sit there and I'd go visit him. He'd just sit there and drink a beer, drink two or three sometimes right in front of me. Then as I continued to visit with him, he'd see me coming. I'd watch him, he'd set the beer behind his seat. Then, later on in life, he got his heart right with God. He called some of his friends and he told them, he said, listen, I've wasted my life. And he called me over one night. I'll come over visit him. He said, can I ask you a favor? I said, yeah. He said, would you preach my funeral? I said, Charles, I'll do my best if I'm alive. He said, will you tell everybody I was a drunk? And I wasted a lot of my life. I said, Charles, I'll be sure and tell people that. And I did, First Baptist Church. I had two women come out there, and they chewed me out. How dare me say something about that about him? And I went over to the graveyard, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I kind of used to something like that by then. But then Gene, Linda's husband, came to me, started coming to church. He's probably said this out loud in church several times, but he's told me this 100 times. He said, had you not told the truth at my father-in-law's funeral, I would have never came to your church. He said, the only reason I did was because of that message you preached and you spoke the truth about Charles. Listen, we need to understand that why the word is nigh to us, we need to believe upon it. And we need to have a testimony. And we need to allow those things to go into our hearts and lives and have a purpose in life given to us by the word of God. And none of us know what we're going to end up. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He told him that some little boy is going to have to lead him around. None of us know how we're going to end up. You know, I sure like to go like Brother Cox. I like to get up out of bed one morning. If I got to go, just drop to the floor and go. I sure hate to live and have to live for years and years and years in a nursing home or someplace like that. But I don't know that I will or won't. But I know this. I don't know if my mind's going to be good or if it's not. I don't know if I'm going to get mean at Beth and Kelly. Probably. Probably pay them back for all those things. But one thing about it is, I don't know where my mind will be, but I know where my heart's going to be.